Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 4 of the Perfect Bracket College Basketball Podcast. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at One Perfect Bracket. That's the number one Perfect Bracket is the handle. So today I'm gonna dive into something I've been working on the last week or so. It has to do with the wisdom of crowds. In some statistical circles, it's thought that, very generally speaking, and I guess this isn't really a thought, but if you really break it down, it's kind of obvious that if you're looking for an opinion on something or looking to come to some sort of conclusion, you're basically going to have a better chance of getting the correct answer if you ask, like, say, 100 people about something and take everyone's perspective, versus if you just ask one random person. Kind of like, it's basically just, it's a much larger sample size. It's kind of that sort of thinking. There's a larger sample size of the 100 people. And there's like a famous example of, I think it was in London, there was a county fair, and people had to guess the weight of a pig and they could win a prize. And this one guy, his name escapes me, basically took all of the guesses of the weight of the pig that everyone had and ended up taking the average of them. And he found that the average guess, like let's say the pig weighed 100 pounds, some people would guess 110, 90, whatever. It's a big pig, I guess. That the average guess of everyone that put in a guess was actually really close to the actual weight of the pig. So basically indicated that, yeah, some people were way high, some people were way low, but together, through the wisdom of crowds, people were able to come to a pretty good conclusion. And so along the same lines, translating that to college basketball, there's some evidence that preseason college basketball rankings actually are fairly relevant in terms of predicting, as a predictive factor for predicting success in the NCAA tournament. Ken Pomeroy has wrote about it, and it's interesting. Of course, it's imperfect. So basically the idea is that if a team is number one in the preseason ranking and falls down, maybe has an up and down season, falls down to number 15 in the final regular season ranking, that team, based on this thinking, is better than that 15 ranking, is, you know, somewhere in between the 1 and the 15 maybe, but is maybe better than that 15 ranking indicates. And the question might be, so why would these preseason rankings be significant? And there's some thinking that, first off, there's kind of the wisdom of crowds approach, in that you're taking the perspective of a lot of different college basketball writers or whoever votes on these preseason polls, and you're combining where their rankings and kind of an average, like, you know, everyone puts in what they think, what ranking they think a team has, 1 through 25, and you kind of come to that consolidated final ranking. And the idea is that, you know, in the preseason, people are free to just rank teams based on how good they think they're going to be. You know, there are no records, you know, nothing's happened, so they don't have to adjust their rankings based on anything else. And the reason that some people think preseason rankings are better than some final rankings, at least maybe not better, but just fairly significant, maybe even more significant than the final regular season rankings based on some studies, is that, you know, let's say that we have two teams that, like, are kind of 1-2 in the nation. You know, let's say the number one team loses its first game of the season, is 0-1, and the number two team wins its first game. There is a sort of pressure for these people that rank these teams to adjust their rankings based off of record. So, like, let's say they think that the number one team in the country, that they had number one, is really the best team, even though they lost the opening game. It's going to be hard for them to kind of justify ranking a team that is 0-1 over a team that is 1-0. So basically, as these things go along, let's say you might think that one team is better than another, but if one team kind of accumulates a few losses, you're going to be looking at the records and you're going to say, okay, can I really have a team that's 10-3 ranked ahead of a team that's 9-2 or 9-1? And obviously, it's more complicated than that. There's a lot of things that come down to strength of schedule. Also, just like, maybe this team suffered a few losses, but are they kind of going to be a good bet for the NCAA tournament, maybe? Whatever. So basically, things get a lot of convoluted, and people go about their rankings in a lot of different ways. But in the preseason, things are pretty straightforward. Which team do you think is the best in the country going into the season? Records, like, people don't adjust their rankings based off of records. People don't. So yeah, it's kind of very compelling. So anyway, I decided to look into seeing what kind of evidence there could be that I could find to support the idea that preseason rankings are pretty irrelevant and insignificant. So I went back to 2003 and I calculated the average team rankings for each team, combining preseason rankings and the final regular season ranking. So for example, if a team was ranked 10th in the preseason, then went through their season and was ranked 20th in the final regular season poll, I would assign them a score, quote unquote, of 15. So basically I'm averaging their preseason and final season ranking and getting a combined factor. Because basically, the reason I wanted to go about doing this is because I found it interesting that preseason rankings were significant and relevant, but I also thought, of course, like, they can't be that relevant, because a lot can change from beginning to the end of the season. If a team started out the season 25th ranked in the country and had and really just really overperformed and showed they were, and ended the season number one in the country, like, I'm not going to look at that team as the 25th best team. Maybe they're not the first best either, but it's got to be somewhere in between. So I thought maybe we could just combine. Maybe the final regular season rankings aren't as significant as the preseason in some cases. But I thought maybe that there's a value to combining the two, because maybe a team has really improved or people just really overlooked that team, and that's why maybe they're high in the final regular season ranking. But obviously, as some studies have shown, that there's value to the preseason as well. And a quick example just from this year, that it's just one isolated example, but Virginia, obviously everyone knows they lost first round of the NCAA tournament. One factor that you could have used to maybe predict that is that they were just out of the top 25 rankings in the preseason, and they finished the regular season number one. And of course, so if you were going to evaluate Virginia, I don't think anyone would claim that they were not a top 25 team, as their preseason ranking would have indicated. But you could also say the fact that they weren't ranked in the preseason could indicate that maybe their final regular season ranking of number one overall maybe is a little overvalued. I think there's an argument for that. So anyway. Oh yeah, and so as I did this average of the final and regular season ranking, the 10 in the preseason, 20 in the final, 15 average, if a team was unranked in either the beginning or the end of the season, I assigned that kind of a score of 30. So if there was a team that was 10th in the preseason, then didn't finish unranked in the final regular season poll, I kind of did a 10 plus 30 and got an average of 20. So I'd give them a 20 score. So anyway, so first off, I looked at the teams every year going back since 2003. They had an average score, again, preseason, final regular season combined, averaged, of less than equal to 5. So basically, these teams were both pretty strong in the preseason and pretty strong for the final regular season poll, because they would have to be to merit an average score of less than equal to 5. So of these teams, a team that had a less than equal to 5 score, and there weren't that many of them, but they won a championship. One of these teams won the national championship in 10 out of 16 seasons. There was one of those teams that won. Also, of all those teams that from 2003 that had a less than equal to 5 average, 46 out of 55 of them, or 84%, advanced to at least the Elite Eight. So 84% of these less than equal to 5 average teams advanced to at least the Elite Eight. And 49 out of 55, or 89% of those teams, advanced to at least a Sweet 16. So, yeah, I felt there was pretty significant evidence that if you are really able to both be highly ranked in the preseason, highly ranked in the final poll, that less than equal to 5 average, it seems to be a pretty strong indicator of success, which, again, isn't completely surprising. But the fact that 46 out of 55, 84% of those teams advanced to at least Elite Eight, it's pretty significant because, not that... I'm not to state the obvious, but not a very high percentage of teams makes it to the Elite Eight. And even even if you were to look at like the top one or two or three seeds, like not all two seeds make it to the Elite Eight, you know, but so I thought that was significant. Next, I wanted to look at kind of the Virginia-like teams. So teams that had a top five final regular season ranking, but had an overall average score of greater than 10. So basically a team that, again, finished the regular season with a very high ranking, but wasn't very highly ranked in the preseason, or as highly ranked, whatever would merit a score of greater than or equal to 10. So, yeah, like I said, a Virginia-like team. And out of these teams... And again, so these are teams that probably would finish the season, you know, a top one or two seeds, so like very highly ranked. But these teams, three out of 13 lost in the first round, so not a ton, but some. 6 out of 13 of these teams, going back to, again, this is going back to 2003, teams that met this criteria. 6 out of 13 of the teams lost in the round of 32. 3 of the 13 teams lost in the Sweet 16. So if you kind of consolidate that, 69% of these teams lost in either the first round or the round of 32. And again, these are top five final ranked in the country teams. 69% lost in the first round or round of 32. That is significant. And even bigger, 0 of the 13 teams made it beyond the Sweet 16. No, none of these teams made it to the Elite Eight or beyond. Again, these were teams that finished top five finals in the final regular season ranking. They were going to end up one or two seeds likely. So yeah, kind of was what I was looking for in terms of my hypothesis. And lastly, I decided to look at the teams that had an average score of greater than or equal to 20. So these are teams that probably weren't too highly ranked in either the preseason or the final regular season rankings. And for that reason, you know, I don't think there would necessarily be an extremely high expectation for these teams to do well. But still, I'll go through the results, but there's decent evidence that these teams, you know, if they're greater than or equal to 20 average, are probably not going to do super well in the NCAA tournament. It's hard for me to say whether this would give me any edge in terms of a predictive factor, or if it's just kind of like, well, duh, it's a six seed. They're probably not going to get to the Elite Eight, most likely. But I feel I feel like there might have been a slight edge that I gathered from looking at this. So for looking at those teams, 73% of these greater than or equal 20 teams, average teams, 73% lost in either the first round or the round of 32. 90% made it no further than the Sweet 16. And 97% of these teams made it no further than the Elite Eight. So I think that could kind of give you a little bit of an edge on a few teams. So overall, yeah. So just as a quick recap, if like looking basically, you know, preseason rankings probably, you know, evidence has showed that they have a predictive factor, a predictive value, and I think also just combining them with the final regular season ranking teams is arguably more predictive. I haven't done extreme like data analysis on that, but it feels right, and so the evidence does prove it out at least a little bit. So those teams have a very high chance of success. And the other thing is, you know, be careful of those teams that are finish high in the final regular season ranking that weren't so highly ranked in the preseason. There's not a great history of success for those teams. Virginia's one, but there's plenty of other examples as well. And of course, this is not like every time, but this is not going to work every time. Of course, the tournament can be very unpredictable. But, you know, it just shows that, like the Virginia example. Of course, like, I'm not going to say that I would have picked Virginia to lose in the first round, or I had them going to the Final Four. I thought they were an amazing team. But as much as things are unpredictable, there are some clues that could give you a hint that, yeah, like, maybe I don't know what's going to happen, but here are some clues that might give me a little bit more insight than I would have previously thought. So yeah, that's the podcast. I hope you enjoyed it. And again, you can follow the podcast at the Twitter handle @1perfectbracket. Number one, there's not a ton posted up there now, but I'm going to look through more, and especially as the season gets a little closer. So yeah, that's it. Thanks.